for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of this earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. If we want to be a little more specific about Armageddon, it refers to the Valley of Megiddo in Israel, where countless battles have been fought throughout biblical history. Let's face it, the holiest place on earth looks like the ideal setting for a first-class war. You say Christ is going to be present at the Armageddon battle? The day J.C. comes to battle will be decided as events develop. Humanity will have the means to destroy the entire human race. Not slowly, like now. But Jesus will come to prevent this. Remember, you have to use your imagination when his actual appearance is described in Revelation, chapter 1-7. Behold, he comes with clouds and every eye shall see him. How could every eye see him at once? In our times and in our modern concept of things, there is satellite television. The image of Christ could be beamed in the clouds and made accessible to every eye at once. Let's say you pick up your TV guide, and you see that the arrival of Christ is going to be broadcast, live. Wouldn't you turn on your television set? Of course. But Christ isn't coming as a television personality. His coming will have a grim purpose, as we've seen in Revelation, chapter 19, verses 11 through 14. So, in other words, it may start at any time. Yes. To simplify it, the events will come in this sequence: the rapture, tribulation, Armageddon, World War III, the return of Jesus Christ. When you read this message, you have to affirm your position with God. If you do that, there's still time. I don't mean just you personally, but whoever reads this message. Regardless of what you were before, up to the moment this reaches you, a choice is possible. Remember, Christ said, "There is not one of you who cannot enter the kingdom." Simply wait for the rapture and go with God or his angels. If you're not a believer, things are a little more complicated. Once the stage is set for the earth's final act, you'll have very little time left. The rapture may come any time. Just keep in touch with the media, watch the news, read the newspapers, look for the mysterious disappearance of a few people who are here today and gone tomorrow. When you see the Antichrist get into the temple, start making your bomb shelter, cancel your insurance, stock up some food or head for the hills, because Armageddon will be 3.5 years away. If you keep your head down, you may survive Armageddon. If so, watch for Christ to come. This will be a thrilling moment. I don't know what will happen next, but you do have one last appointment. Whether you die a natural death, or are one of the casualties of Armageddon, you get a subpoena and you have to appear before the great judge. I take it I have to believe you blindly. I haven't said anything new, I haven't invented anything. I'm just repeating what is already written here on your planet. I compiled some evidence, put it together, and gave it to you as it should be understood, especially now when you people need some proper guidance. Your message is far more than sensational, it's very pathetic. That's nothing, these are just the prophecies. Revelation tells how the end of the world will come. Are you going to Lima tonight? No, I'm staying one more day, tomorrow, Monday. Great, because tomorrow we're going to be looking at something that confirms all this. Something we've been talking about for quite some time, the Fatima message. By the time we'd finished with our session that night, it was dark and cold. We drove straight to Achaia, had something to eat, went for a swim, talked a little more, then went to bed. Chapter 12. The Fatima Message. It was Monday, August 12, 1974. Rama and I got out of bed about 8:30 in the morning. The tourists had cleared out of Achaia, and we had the bathhouses all to ourselves. We decided to cook our breakfast outdoors, using our new wok and borrowing some fresh eggs from a nearby chicken coop. It was still chilly that morning, even though the sun was shining brightly, giving the promise of a hot day to come. I was extremely pleased that I didn't have to go back to Lima. I felt I could make full use of this day by talking to Rama about something she'd mentioned many times, without ever having given me a straight answer. Rama had said the Fatima incident could have been nothing more than the visitation of a spaceship from a neighboring galaxy that made contact with the three shepherd children near Fatima, Portugal. During the month I hadn't seen Rama, I managed to squeeze in a couple hours every day to do some research investigation I felt was necessary. I was at a disadvantage in several ways. First, I didn't have the best reference books, as few libraries had material available in English. Second, whatever I could get that had some value, I could only get through studying old newspapers and magazines. Luckily, international journalists are people who acknowledge no national boundaries when it comes to the search for truth. It's a nationality in itself. Thanks to this brotherhood, I was able to gather some interesting information on the Fatima incident. 206. Not that it was an easy task, because at the time I was doing this, the Peruvian newspapers had been taken over by the government. Finding these answers meant so much to me that I did my research, while entire city blocks where the news buildings were located were surrounded by police with tear gas and machine guns. I picked up a smattering of knowledge this way, at least enough to prevent me from bugging Rama with questions and comments that could be obtained through other available sources. What I discovered was very shocking to me. I found it difficult to believe what I read. I promised myself I would recheck everything as soon as I arrived back in the United States. And, indeed, all my findings concerning Fatima have been authenticated by further research. The material was very available, despite what Rama had said about the effort being made by a certain church to keep the Fatima incident under wraps. The Fatima story began on May 13, 1917, when three shepherd children, Lucia dos Santos and her two cousins, Francisco and Jacinta, claimed to have seen a lady, brighter than the sun, standing on a cloud in an evergreen tree near Fatima, Portugal. This lady asked the children to return to the same place on the 13th day of each month, until October, 1917, when she would disclose her identity and reveal why she had come. The children returned as promised and, in spite of local skepticism, were joined by a crowd of spectators that increased from 50 in June to 1,000 in July, from 18,000 in August, to 30,000 in September, and finally, in October, the number had reached almost 70,000. Only the children were able to see the lady, while others reported they saw the movements of the tree and the arrival and departure of a cloud. Officials in Portugal were alarmed by these events. On August 13th of that year, the mayor of Arum kidnapped the children, detaining them for 2 days. This act of tyranny didn't prevent the next visit, it only postponed it. The lady appeared to the children on the 19th of August at Valinhos, promising that in October a great miracle would occur. On that day, October 13th, the heavenly being announced to them that she was the Virgin Mary, and called for an amendment in men's lives. It was a wet and gloomy day. Suddenly, the sun appeared, turned pale, trembled and rotated violently on its axis, finally falling toward Earth, dancing over the heads of the terrified throng before it returned to normal. Many people who were present reported this event as if the sun was actually power diving dizzily towards the Earth. A cry of fear arose from the crowd as thousands fell to their knees, thinking that the end of the world was at hand. The miracle QF the sun was repeated twice more. In 1922, a canonical process of inquiry was opened, and lasted 7 years. In 1930, the Bishop of Ulra pronounced the 1917 visions worthy of credence and authorized the cult of Our Lady of Fatima. Several years later, Jacinto and Francisco died of influenza, and Lucio entered an abbey of the Carmelite order as Sister Maria das Dores. During the official investigation of the incident, one thing seemed clear: three messages to mankind had been delivered to these children. Two of these messages were revealed, one in 1917, and the other in 1924. The third message was sent to the Vatican in a sealed envelope to be released to the world on March 25, 1960. In 1974, While this book was being written, more than 16 years had passed since the message, sealed and guarded, waited the 1960 date to be opened. The world was shocked when the time came and went, and the Vatican remained silent about the whole affair. The most alarming rumors started circulating. It was said that Pope John XXIII, and some high priests of the Vatican, upon learning the awful contents in the form of prophecies, decided not to reveal them at the designated time. It was also said that the message had been made available to a few chiefs of state, Dwight D. Eisenhower, for one. It was given to them under the most top-secret circumstances. The purpose was to slow down the arms race among the nations competing for superior military power in the world. It has been rumored that John F. Kennedy, the first Catholic president in the United States, was informed of the contents of the Fatima message, but this has never been verified. An Italian newspaper, called Stop, was hit by a bomb on the very same day it had demanded the publication of the Fatima message. The publisher, Renzo Bashkara, a well-known Italian professor from Torino, claimed that he had managed to get a copy of the text of the message because of certain diplomatic leaks. He felt that in good faith the Christian world should know about these prophecies in order to avoid their fulfillment. Reliable sources reported that when Pope Pius XII read the Fatima message, he started crying without consolation, and that Pope John XXIII fainted upon reading it. It's understandable why they decided to keep the message from the news media. Not only did this heavenly message prophesy the end of the world in fire, smoke, catastrophes, earthquakes, violence and wars, but also the disappearance of a powerful church upon whose throne Satan will have his coven after he has planted hate and confusion among its high priests. This is the actual text of the Fatima message, as it was published by the Italian weekly newspaper, Stop. According to Professor Bashkara, it contains the words spoken by the Lady of Fatima to Sister Bernadette during one of the visitations in Portugal. "Don't be afraid, little girl. This is the Virgin Mary who is talking to you, asking to make this message public to the entire world. Listen well and pay attention to what I am saying. Mankind must make some amendments. They must humbly repent and ask forgiveness for all the sins committed and those yet to be committed. You wish that I give you proof, so each one who listens to these words, that through you I'm sending, humanity can accept. You have seen the miracle of the sun, as well as Christians and non-Christians, peasants and civilians, laymen, police and priests, and now in my name I proclaim that a great punishment will fall over the human race. Not today or tomorrow, but in the second half of the 20th century. Order is absent in the world. Satan reigns everywhere, and is the mastermind of all the world events. He will be successful in getting to the throne of the church. He will seduce the spirit of the great wise men who invent weapons and warfare, with which it will be possible to destroy, in a few minutes, a great part of the human race. He will have power over the mighty who rule the nations, and he will induce them to manufacture these weapons in great quantities. And if humanity does not react, I could no longer withhold my son's arm. And then God will punish men with such severity that no even in the times of deluge was known. If humanity does not change, this will be the time of times, and the end of all the end. And everything will have to get worse than what you have seen today. The might and the powerful will die in the same manner as the small and the weak. Even the church will have its moment of confrontation with the truth. The cardinals will confront the cardinals, and the bishops against the bishops. Satan will be walking among them, and great changes will take place in Rome. The church will crumble and the world will be submerged in terror. A great war will break out in the second half of the 20th century. Fire and smoke will fall from heaven, the ocean water will become steam, and the foam will raise to shake and submerge the world. Millions and millions of people will get to the point of envying the dead. Wherever one looks, the only thing to find is anguish, famine and ruins. The time is coming near, and the fall is getting deeper without any hope. The good will die with the bad, the tall with the small, the princes of the church with their followers, and the statesmen with their people. Death will be present everywhere as a natural cause of the mistakes made by those who are not reasonable, and Satan's advocates up to the date in which the ones who have managed to survive each event will praise once again the glory of God, and will serve God the same way men served God when the world was less corrupt. Go, little girl, and proclaim your message. I will be by your side to help you. Rama and I had found a comfortable spot, near the river. I opened the conversation by saying, "You'll be pleased to know that I've done a good piece of investigation on this Fatima incident. I gathered all kinds of information, including this," and I handed her a copy of Renzo Bashkira's paper. "Good boy," she said. "Now we can have an intelligent conversation in a civilized manner." I had known she would be pleased, since she made a point of letting me know she didn't want to be bothered with the hassle of small details that were available to me through research. Her comment also let me know that she knew my smart aleck attitude was a ruse to cover my lack of knowledge on the subjects we had been discussing. I said, "Yesterday, when we were talking about the Antichrist, and what is going to be happening here during the apocalyptical moments of the earth, I was thinking about this Fatima message. You told me that we wouldn't get into it unless I started behaving like a civilized human being." "Quite right. Despite our kidding around, this is the one time I'm asking you to be very serious. I'll give you straight answers because we want this published, don't seven we? If you say so. And remember, when you write, include no names. I've got you covered on that. With the knowledge you already have, it's not difficult to spot the elements that were present during the Fatima events, the coming and going of the cloud, the bright light. I've no doubt in my mind, it was someone from another world. I found this book written in Portuguese, entitled, Era Amas en Jeremias Brichanti Que Sol, by J. D. Markey. In English, the title means, She Was a Lady Shining Brighter Than the Sun. Yes, but in 1917 talk about UFOs would have confused the children. THT kind of knowledge and terminology were unknown to them. Why did she call herself the Virgin Mary? She related to their thoughts, their religion, their faith, to what the children trusted. They were Christians who believed in Christ and the Virgin Mary. Maybe she did that in order not to freak them out, is that possible? Right. I had to do the same thing with you, so you wouldn't freak out on me. I knew your thoughts, what you would relate to, what would appeal to your curiosity. You see, what's going on now is somewhat similar to what went on in Portugal in 1917. What do you mean? Simply that I'm also a neighbor in the universe who is asking you to make this message known to the world. We had reached a point in the discussion where I felt it would be appropriate to raise the question that had been on my mind. Tell me, Rama, why was the Fatima incident never made public in the first place? I've asked you this question several times, and I don't think you've ever given me a straight answer on it. It was not revealed, Charles, because it is much more convenient for a group of people who rule the destinies of the world to keep it a secret. I guess it would be pointless to ask you who rules the destinies of the world. The impression I'm getting from you tells me that you won't tell me anyway. It would be a waste of our time to ask for names, because I'm not going to give you any. But it's not difficult to figure out who they could be and what they stand for. I already have some idea. It took me a while, but at age 27, I graduated into the world of knowing there is a conference room somewhere on this planet where a group of people get together and decide who will pull the strings. Military coups, revolutions, price raises, headlines, wars, money, power plays. It all goes on at one table. My mother used to tell me about these things, but I never believed her. Like you, she told me that a certain president was finished and I mocked the situation, saying, no king as big as Richard M. could ever be finished. I remember her saying that she would be the happiest woman in the world if she knew where that conference room was. One thing she was sure of was that this table was bigger than any church, government or political party in the world. In other words, their power was simply enormous. Your mother sounds like a tough cookie. She likes to think of herself like that. I know, she is a wonderful person, a true Christian. Are you kidding? I asked with surprise. Wait, you didn't let me finish. She's a true Christian in that she loves her fellow human beings. Have you known her not to be concerned with people? Someone who would travel thousands of miles just to help the victims of some devastated area. Rama, using her special gifts, had discovered that my mother had volunteered to help earthquake victims at one time. She doesn't advertise what she does. But she seems to enjoy that sort of thing. But she hates Jesus freaks. No, she does not hate, she dislikes, she doesn't have the patience for nonsense. How did you know about my mother? You haven't even met her. You should know by now that I can sense your mother in your vibrations. She's a good Christian because there is no hate in her. If she had bad vibes, I could pick them up from you. Don't forget we're going into the third fort naturally and matter-of-factly now. Many times we may be having a conversation and our ananas and ananites mingle together. Then we become one thought. Don't question it every time it happens. Just accept it as a phenomena of telepathy. You witnessed how I was able to pick up information from your vibes, or your mental images, about your mother. She is alive, shaped and moving in your mind. It's like putting a movie screen of your thoughts in front of me. That explains it. Now when we analyze what you have on Fatima, it's not going to be difficult for you to understand when we say a man, a group, a church. Don't you think that whoever is responsible for not having it published the first time is going to try it again? I don't think they can stop it this time. Why not? Oh, they would like to, but it's too late now. By the time your little story is ready, you'll have found lots of evidence that the situation has gotten out of hand for them. A powerful church on your planet is already decadent. That particular church is losing face day in and day out. What do you mean by too late? Too many people are wanting to know the truth, I guess. The press is getting to people. Look what happened in the United States a few days ago. Many reporters who didn't like getting the wrong answers started to make waves. This is how the whole thing started. Yeah, you're right. I remember, the king's advocates, the press, and a newspaper in a city in a nation. As of a few days ago, the king is out. The same thing would happen if someone really wanted to get to the bottom of the Fatima message incident. I'm sure they could. Today's censorship on UFOs is quite tight, but not for long. By the time you're finished with this book, UFOs will be a matter of political campaigning. You have to be joking. Oops, sorry, we're supposed to be serious. I can understand your reaction. There is a nation in this world that in about 2 years will be celebrating a bicentennial holiday, a couple of wars on its hands, and an open convention full of political scandals, to choose one man who will be its next president. The man they will choose has already seen UFOs, and if elected, will make it public knowledge. Shall I call that a prediction or a prophecy? I don't care what you call it. The point I'm making is that a certain ideology in this world is gaining ground in world affairs. What do you mean by ideology? Monarchy is an ideology, democracy is another, communism, socialism, totalitarianism. Forms of government? I know you don't want to use names, but if we're going to be bringing a message across, I'd like to be a little more specific. You figure it out. Could it be an ideology that started around the turn of the century with a revolution? And has it been present in two major wars? Does it have bases all over the world, including one of the large Caribbean islands, and in 1962 was a big issue? That's the ideology. I read a book in Spanish that the Lady of Fatima prophesied that communism would be taking over the world before the end of the century. I know it has been written. But I still feel funny about pointing fingers. My scientific and journalistic mind can hardly wait to start analyzing this message with you. I have a gut feeling there's a plot that will lead us to the Battle of Armageddon, to the final days. If the prophecies are going to be fulfilled, and Fatima is a carbon copy of the apocalyptical books of Daniel and Revelation, then why can't we use names? I was thinking about making your job a little easier. Personally, I couldn't care less whose names we use here. But there's always the chance that people would misunderstand the purpose of this message and twist it the wrong way, thinking we are endorsing a particular church or creed to them. Some people may even think we're instigating something.
Oh, I see. You discuss that with your publishers. If they want to take the responsibility, that's their decision. We want this brought to people in every walk of life.
What for? Would it change the prophecies?
No, it's too late now. We're already practically living those days of the prophecies. We want this known for one good reason. Because there's not one single living soul out there who can't enter the kingdom of eternal life. In these times you may die at any moment since we are coming close to apocalyptic times.
How can we tell?
Don't you remember the cold planet, Herculebus and the earthquakes, cataclysms, wars, crime and contamination that we read about in Revelation 8-5-9?
That's right, and the Fatima messages say that fire and smoke will be cast upon the earth and the steam and foam will rise to shake and submerge the world.
According to you, these things are already happening.
But what about the part where it says hail and fire mingled with blood? A great mountain burning.
And the sea become blood?
What about it?
I don't see it happening.
If it did, don't you think we would have heard something?
This is much too spectacular to go unnoticed by the news media.
Remember, that was written nearly 2,000 years ago by people who didn't know or understand our lingo.
But the imagery remains the same then and today.
I already told you that you can't expect to see a star fall on the surface of the earth, because it's a physical impossibility that a celestial body 3,200 times bigger in volume could fall on it. It'll be the effects of attractional forces that cause these things to happen over a period of time.
Daniel, John and now Fatima, speak of these events as a period of time.
Don't expect to wake up one day to see that the sun has darkened, that the oceans are tinted with blood, that people are dead or dying next to you because the fire falling from heaven is burning them.
When they wrote about their visions, they tried to give us their feelings of death, pain, blood, screams, earthquakes, war, deceit, false prophets, famine, destruction, cataclysms, using language and terms known to them.
This is why they resorted to symbolic language.
What is symbolic language?
Dream language.
Like when they say a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns.
John saw the imagery thanks to his guide, the angel, who helped him understand the visions.
John couldn't write, a European confederacy consisting of 10 nations.
Got you, loud and clear.
With a little intelligent reasoning you can read the scriptures, the Fatima message, the Rodolfo Benavides book, dramatic prophecies of the Great Pyramid, a few other things, and you'll come up with a different outlook on the symbolism of the Bible and make it more meaningful for the second half of the 20th century.
Turn to your news media, you'll get war, revolutions, death, earthquakes, forest fires, dry spells, floods, famine, crime, and lots of blood.
Live in some of your bigger cities around the world, you'll see that the third part of the sun is smitten with smog and air pollution.
Contamination of waters is practically around the corner.
People starve by the thousands.
Your planet's ecology is finally catching up with you.
Remember how many people died in Bangladesh, India, Biafra?
I do, yes.
Well, then. These are the things the Bible and the Great Pyramid point out for these times.
When you get to read that book you'll see that September 17, 2001 is the date when the cold planet, Herculebus, is going to be at its closest point to the Earth, and the whole solar system will feel the consequences.
And just about the time this happens, when the Earth is feeling the attractional forces of this cold planet about 46 days out of the year, our system will be due for a planetary realignment.
This is what will cause California to fall into the ocean.
What's a planetary realignment?
Did you see here?
No, I haven't.
But you must remember the song that made the play famous.
Aquarius?
Yes, do you know the words?
I began singing, When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, and peace will find our planet and love will see the stars. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Good. Do those words mean anything to you? Only that it's a pretty song.